Let us pray.
Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you from the bottom of our heart to give us opportunity to remember the crucifixion, the death of your own Son on the cross 2,000 years ago. And that event is something that changed our life. That's why you are here. Lord Jesus, we thank you for every drop of blood you shed and your broken body for the redemption of our body and soul and spirit, and for the healing of the sick. We truly give the sincere thanks from the bottom of our heart. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to be with us as we gather here to remember the sacrificial ministry of our Lord Jesus on the cross for each one of us in this room and for the whole humankind and for those who believe in him. We just want to thank you again. And let your mighty power be present and manifest to show your glory. We truly confess, worthy is the Lamb. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Welcome to Good Friday service. Maybe you can greet each other. Maybe it's those who are on your side and the back. Would you please turn with me to John 19:30. John 19:30. And this is the word of God. When Jesus therefore had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Jesus spoke seven words on the cross. And John 19:30 records the very last word of Jesus, the seventh saying of Jesus. And he said, "It is finished." In actual Greek manuscript, this is only one word, tetelestai, which is a perfect passive indicative form of the verb teleo, and teleo means to complete, to finish an activity or process or bring to an end, or complete or finish. So what did Jesus mean to say when he said, "It is finished"? As you see, this is a perfect passive indicative. What that means is this is something that was going on at one point. It was progressively being fulfilled, but not complete. But at the cross, when Jesus said this word, it was really completed. It's called perfect tense in English. But what does Jesus mean, "It is finished"? You know, what was finished? We are going to look at least three things that we know that has been finished when Jesus really proclaimed that it is finished. Let me see. I don't know, you can see this picture. It's kind of too light here, but this is the body of Jesus hung on the cross, and you can see his thorny crown, and it is finished. Among many things, I'd like to highlight three things that was completed when Jesus said, "It is finished." The first thing is all the prophecies. about Jesus and Messiah. Do you know how many prophecies were indeed fulfilled in Jesus? It's called Messianic prophecies from the Old Testament. You know, thousands of years before Jesus came, the prophecy of God has begun from Genesis all the way to Malachi. And one research shows that there are 355 prophecies of Jesus. And Jesus indeed fulfilled all of them when he said, "It is finished." 355 prophecies. And we know some of them. We don't have time to go over all 355. But I'll give you a pointer if you are interested in what are those 355 prophecies foretold about Jesus and that which has been fulfilled in Jesus, each one of them, each and every one of them. And among them are Genesis 3:15. God said he will put enmity between the Satan, the devil, and woman. And Jesus referred to the seed of woman will have enmity with the heir of the devil. And God said, you shall bruise him on the heel. So Satan will give damage to Jesus to a degree, but God said, he shall bruise you on the head. That means the seed of woman will defeat the force of Satan. And actually, that was fulfilled on the cross. And God also prophesied about the seed of Abraham. The seed of Abraham will bless every nation, every tongue, every people. And Genesis 22:18, and in your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. And that seed of Abraham, which is a singular, refers to Jesus. And Matthew 1:1 begins with the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, and the son of Abraham. So Jesus fulfills this prophecy. And another important prophecy is about the kingdom of God, eternal kingdom of God, a descendant of David. God foretold in Samuel 7:12-13, when your days are complete, so God says to David, when your days are complete, you lie down with your fathers. I raise up your descendant after you who will come forth from you, and he will, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. So God gave this word to David that his descendant will be the king, the true king of eternal kingdom of God, and that person is Jesus. And Micah, about 700 before Christ, he prophesied the birthplace of Jesus in Bethlehem. Micah 5:2, as for you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, too little to be among the clan of Judah, from you one will go forth for me to be ruler in Israel. His going forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity. Bethlehem was prophesied as the birthplace of this Messiah. And the Messiah, Jesus, was described someone who came from the days of eternity. Basically, Micah saw divine, a son of God will come and will be born in Bethlehem. And that was fulfilled in Matthew 2 when Jesus was born in Bethlehem. And Isaiah 8:14 and Isaiah 53:3, Isaiah saw the vision that this Messiah will be rejected and despised by his own people, and also even the Gentiles. Isaiah 53:3 reads, "He is despised and rejected by men, and a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him." So this is the best gift that God sent to humanity, was despised by his own people, Israel, and also the Gentiles. And these are just a few examples of the prophecies fulfilled in Jesus. And on the cross, every prophecy, 350 prophecies, were finally fulfilled. So what does that mean? What is the odd? What is the probability that 355 prophecies, each one of them, was fulfilled in Jesus Christ? I don't know if you're a mathematician or not, and if you try to calculate this probability, this is almost impossible. This is just an astronomical number that no one can even count, this odd. But against all these odds, Jesus fulfilled all these prophecies, all pointing to him, and he fulfilled. You know what that means? That means we can trust him. We can trust Jesus and all his words. And he is trustworthy and worthy to praise at all cost. You know, nothing would be so valuable that we would not be able to give, all it costs to the name of Jesus. It's worthy and eternally worthy. So that's the first thing I highlighted. What was fulfilled? What was finished on the cross in Jesus? All the prophecies. And second thing is his suffering. Christ's suffering was completed on the cross. No one had received more severe suffering than that of Jesus. His suffering was by far the most unutterable anguish that encompasses physical, mental, and spiritual sufferings to the highest degree. When you saw the movie Passion of Jesus, I think that portrays the physical suffering of Jesus. I think Mel Gibson was the director, and he really portrays the excruciating pain inflicted on the body of Jesus, among other sufferings. So we know that suffering of Jesus in his body was insurmountable, something that we can never imagine, and he endured that. But there are other type of suffering, mental and spiritual suffering, psychological, emotional sufferings that he endured, also second to none. When you think about terrible experience in Gethsemane, when he prayed to God, the Bible said, his sweat was like a drop of the blood, because it's so painful for him to take the cup of suffering. And although appearing before Caiaphas, Pilate, Herod, and back again before Pilate, he was tortured. His spirit was tortured by these men. And there has been scourging, mocking by the brutal soldiers, the journey to Calvary, and fastening of his hands and feet to the cruel tree with the nail and a thorny crown on his head that penetrated in his skin, and then he shed blood. And there had been the reviling of the priest and the crowd and the two thieves crucified with him. And there had been callous indifference of a vulgar mob who has no pity to Jesus whatsoever. But now, the suffering is ended. God has bruised him, the awful storm of God's wrath was fell on him, and man and devil had done the worst. But when Jesus said, "It is finished," all this darkness is ended, and the sword of God's justice is put into a sheath. And the wages of sin have been paid, and the prophecies of his sufferings are all fulfilled. The cross has been endured, and God's holiness has been fully satisfied. You know, with a cry of triumph, a loud cry, a cry that shook the entire universe, was said, "It is finished. Suffering is over. No more pain, no more sorrow. Jesus suffered all for you and me. It is finished." That means your suffering, you know, shouldn't be as heavy as you think it is. And Jesus bore all the burdens of your life. It is done. And if you suffer now, know that your suffering is lighter and not as serious as what Jesus had gone through. So have courage in looking at the suffering of Jesus. And also, looking at Jesus' suffering that is ended, please know that your suffering also has an end. It's just come to pass. It'll come to pass. You know, that's the courage that we can get from the finished suffering of Jesus Christ on the cross. There's one more I'd like to highlight this evening. What was finished on the cross is the atonement and the end of our sins. What is the value of that to us? To the sinners, it is the message of good news, good tidings, glad tidings. All that the Holy God requires has been done. Nothing is left for the sinners to add. No works from us are demanded as the price of our sin has been paid off. The Lord Jesus sent us the canceled note. All debts have been paid off. I don't know whether you had that or not, but you know, if you had a college loan, and by the time you pay off, the bank maybe sent you already or will send you the canceled note that you owe nothing to them. So God sent the canceled note to each one of us, whoever believes in Jesus, that we owe nothing to him. And we don't have to do anything because Jesus paid it all. And the canceled note sent by God because of Jesus is your assurance of salvation. You know, if you are shaky on whether you will be saved or not, please know that Jesus paid it all. And you owe nothing to God. When God asks you, what makes you think that you should enter heaven when you face God, you just point it out, Jesus died for my sin and he paid it all. And I believe. That's all you have to say. You didn't say, "Oh, I was good. I was better than others. And I, you know, gave offering to church, or I attended Sundays. You know, I had a lot of compassion for the poor." You know, all those things are not counting for the entrance of heaven at all, because Jesus paid it all. You don't add anything, and we cannot add anything on top of what Jesus has done. It's done. That's what it means. It is finished. So we should have conviction and assurance of salvation. It's not because of what we have done. It has nothing to do with us, but everything to do with what Jesus has done. When Jesus said, "It is finished," your salvation is guaranteed. by faith. You know, Romans 6:23, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus our Lord. Eternal life, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus our Lord. And Christ and His finished work is the ground of all our hopes. And Isaiah 53, verse 3, Lord had laid on Him the iniquity of us all. If God laid my iniquities on Christ, they are no longer on me. I know that. And if God laid your iniquities on Christ, they are no longer on you. The cross of Jesus then is the grave of our sins. Our sins was buried. Done. No more. No power of sin is exerted upon none of us, those who believe the Jesus name. Let me finish with this illustration. There was a sculptor who was not a believer of Jesus. He thought no one can save him. He thought the cross is scandalous, and saying to himself, I have to work on my own salvation. Knowing this unbelief of the sculptor, one of his clients tried to do something so that this sculptor would be saved. So the client asked him to make a perfect bronze of King David. And the sculptor gladly accepted the request and spent many months to carve the bronze of King David in perfection. And as he was completing this bronze of King David, he was so amazed that, you know, this is a perfection. And he exclaimed himself, this is truly the perfect and complete masterpiece that anyone can produce, and I just did it. And when he finished, he brought the finished masterpiece of the bronze of King David to his client. And he proudly presented this gift to his client. But the client did not say a word. And he just simply paid the price, the cost of this bronze. And client lifted his chisel, his axe, and begin to chisel the perfect masterpiece of this bronze. And then the sculptor said, stop it. This is perfect. You cannot do anything here. Just take away your axe out of your hands. The client said, no, this is mine, and I don't think this is perfect. I want to make it better. And then he began to chisel, and it looked, it doesn't look a David anymore, after a few, the minutes that he messed up. And the sculptor cried out, what on earth you did to my perfect artwork? You have ruined my work. And the client said, yes, that's exactly you are trying to do with Jesus. You are seeking to nullify the finished work of Jesus by your own miserable addition to it. God used this forceful object lesson to show the sculptor for his mistake. And he was led to cast himself by faith upon what Jesus has done for him and all the sinners. And he believed, and he began to have a assurance of salvation. He didn't have to do anything because Jesus has done perfectly, as his artwork was a masterpiece. It is finished. You have your salvation. You have reason to be assured of your salvation by believing Jesus, who finished his work to redeem you from the penalties of your sins. Do you believe that? Would you close your eye for the moment? You know, nobody's watching but me. Please close, you know, your eyes so that it can be a moment of privacy. If you truly believe that Jesus died for you and he finished, you know, all the requirements and all the consequences in Jesus' body, and Jesus shed the blood for you, and now you know your salvation, you are assured of your salvation. If you believe, would you raise your hand silently? What I said was, if you are assured of your salvation because finished the work of Jesus, you can raise your hand. Okay, let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your perfect work you have done on the cross. It is finished. Let us always remember this word, your saying, the last saying on the cross, it is finished. There's nothing we can add, nothing we can delete. This is done completely and perfectly. Our salvation is on your hand, and you gave it as a gift to each one of us in this room. We thank you that many of us have this salvation, the assurance of salvation, conviction of salvation, not because of who we are, but because of who you are, Jesus. You are eternal Son of God, and you are the Creator. You were there even before the foundation of the world, and you landscape the plan of God even before we were made. And there are 355 prophecies about you that you have completely fulfilled on the cross. You are the Son of God, and you are the one that is worthy and eternally worthy for us to know and get acquainted with and have fellowship with. And you are the one that we can speak to and we can hear from. We thank you for your coming to this world, born of a woman, and having a complete human body, and yet you are God, and you died on the cross. We thank you. Let the power of your work be exerted upon each one of us this night. Whatever need that we have, we brought before you. And we want to receive your blessing because you are the source of all the blessings. Every person, every tribe, every tongue, every nation will be blessed. Every family of God will be blessed because of you. And we admit that we need your blessing tonight. Lord Jesus, pour out your Holy Spirit so that some miracle would happen on each one of us. Whatever burdens of our heart be lifted up completely tonight as we trust in you. Whatever issues we may have in our body, we bring all the issues before you, Lord Jesus, so that you would be able to touch us and heal us from all our sickness, from all our iniquities, all the bondages that we suffer with. We want to be a clean slate by your power today. Lord Jesus, pour out your spirit so that all the bad habits from which we feel so much guilt be cut off completely today. As you said, it is finished. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for your goodness and your favor. You chose us to be your favor in your Son's name. And we thank you for your orchestration. There's nothing in this world is coincident. But as part of your orchestration, and each and every detail that we see and we experience is orchestrated by you. We trust in you and your grand plan. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your ministry tonight. And you show your revelation from God, because you are the one who know the deep mind of God. And you are the one who reveal the deep mind of God to us. And you are the one who speak to us. Let us be able to hear your voice tonight. You know, all the mute and deaf, you know, spiritual things be open today, so that we will be able to see the vision. We will be able to hear your voice as you speak to us. We thank you, Lord, the Holy Triune God, Father, Son, and the Spirit. One Lord, one name, one baptism, and one communion given by you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay, tissue. I'd like to invite each person today, tonight, who believe in Jesus' name, to this communion that Jesus started. You know, if you are youth, and if you truly believe in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you can participate this communion. And if your child is young, and you can speak to them now the significance of this communion, and if you judge that your young children are truly believers, encourage them to join this communion so that we would receive this communion worthy to the name of Jesus. So before we receive, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity that you have given us tonight, that through this communion let us remember what Jesus has done for us, but also let the presence of Jesus be real here by the power of the Holy Spirit. And this presence of Jesus will endure forever with his mercy in all eternity. So we are participating now, but we are joining the future, the hope that Jesus will bring when he comes back. All our past are settled. All our sins are covered by Jesus. Thank you. And Jesus' power is present because he's living God. But also he will return and usher us into his kingdom forever. We thank you for the significance of bread and cup. thank you in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So for those who believe in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are welcome to participate in this communion tonight.